Now, we go to the sermon. As you see in your bulletin, this sermon is entitled The Holy Spirit's Role in How We Handle Opposition. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Together, we have sat at the feet of our Lord to learn something, to feel something, and to do something about the fruit of the Spirit and its power to live holy and identifiable. Is your life identifiable? Identifiable lives distinguished, that distinguishes us from a sinful world, that the sinful world will see and look and say, that's a follower of Christ. Last month, we learned that by taking an upward look or a Godward look perspective, it is from the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, and peace that God uses the Holy Spirit to mature our relationship with Him. A Godward look. Several weeks ago, we took an outward look or a manward situational awareness look at how the Holy Spirit's fruit of patience, kindness, and goodness cultivates our relationship with others. So today, we need to take a hard look. A hard look. Inward. I call it a selfward or a self-awareness reflection look at how well we are growing through the developing process of applying faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in handling opposition that comes our way. Now look, we at First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina, we pledge to God and to each other that we will allow the fruit of God's Spirit, that's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, to grow in our lives. It's on our website. It's our church covenant. May I take some liberty for just a moment to modify this portion of our solemn oath to make an indelible spiritual application point. Shouldn't this more accurately read, we will allow the Holy Spirit to grow the fruit of God's Spirit in our lives? Again, spiritual fruit, worldview application, it doesn't work. It's got to be the Holy Spirit that we allow to grow His Spirit in our life. For you see, even with our best intentions and efforts, when it's ourselves that call the shots and try to produce, now watch this, I love this, I even looked it up, artificial fake fruit of God's Holy Spirit, it will only lead, watch what happens with artificial fake fruit of the Holy Spirit. Are you walking around bearing artificial fake fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, this is where it leads to. Evil, destruction, self-centeredness, oppressiveness, possessiveness, sin, and death. Yet, when we submit ourselves to God and pursue holiness by allowing His Holy Spirit to grow the fruit of His Spirit in our lives, it'll surely lead to goodness, productivity, self-giving, liberation, nurturing, holiness, and an abundant life. How can the Holy Spirit help us handle opposition that comes? It's coming. Opposition is coming at us from so many different directions and in so many different ways throughout our daily lives. As we read in our passage today from the Gospel of Matthew, it gives us some clear instructions from Jesus that can help us allow His Holy Spirit to yield faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in such miraculous ways that we can thrive. We can thrive rather than just simply survive through opposition. Now, pledged in our church covenant, we promise that we will allow the fruit of God's Spirit, and now we know, by and through the power of the Holy Spirit, to grow in our lives. This can only be done from praying, having a humble and contrite heart, one that continuously is always knocking for God to develop His character and His virtuous trait markings in our lives. And it is through the work of the Holy Spirit that results in these 9 virtues or trait markings of fruit in our lives. Now today, right now, are you either allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate your character as His own, or but as He cultivates His character as His own, the only way you could do that is submitting and intentionally pursuing a life of holiness. Or are you not submitting to that due to unconfessed sin? So you see, sin, to him that knows what he should do or what she should do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. The bottom line is, sin is disobedience to what God has directed and commanded you to do. Even in the smallest things. There's no, on the bench for over 30 years, when misdemeanors would come before me, or infractions would come before me, it's a fine or community service. I couldn't put somebody in jail. Then you have a misdemeanors, which you get up to a year in the county jail and a fine. But I couldn't send them to state prison. But on felonies, once they are found guilty or I find them guilty, I can go ahead and place them on probation, or I can go ahead and send them off to state prison. In our judicial system, we have these levels of offenses. In God's system, there is no levels. If you sin in a little thing, you've sinned at everything. There's no negotiations. There's no compromises. There's no rationalizing with God. Ask the Lord to have His Holy Spirit tell you, is there any unconfessed sin in your life? Otherwise, these fruits will not grow. Never is it our sinful inward being more manifest. Never is our sinful inward being more manifest than when it is outwardly expressed in our behavior and actions in handling opposition. If you stubbornly choose to live with unconfessed sin, the best you can do is doll yourself up, look and smell like real spiritual fruit, but in reality, you and God know that it is just decorative, realistic, artificial fruit in assorted colors that anyone can buy a pack of 32 at Walmart for $17. If you want real fruit, fruit that can make a difference and last an entire lifetime, then confess your sins today and ask God to make His fruit real fruit in your life. Then and only then can you respond to God, to each other, and to opposition in a way that is pleasing and glorifying to the Lord. Okay, let's address opposition. In some ways, the Holy Spirit demonstrates in our character how we are to respond. We look at the virtue of faithfulness. Throughout my entire life, I have always admired my father's wedding ring. The shield displays the Rallis crest, made up of a crown sitting on top of a capital R and surrounded by two Greek words, dunamis, which the biblical word means the power of God, and pisthis, which is translated faith or faithfulness. Penny Noyes of the Christianity Today describes faithfulness as a character trait that combines dependability and trust based upon our confidence in God and His eternal faithfulness. May I add, biblical faithfulness requires our belief that the Scriptures accurately reflect reality and what it says about God, what it says about His existence, His works, and His character. We read about true faithfulness in the lives, in Hebrews we see it in there, Abel, in the life of Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Rahab, Gideon, Enoch, Moses, those are just to name a few. It is from this virtuous fruit of the Holy Spirit that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. It says this, "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God," and I pray for you about this too, you know, "that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the worthiness of our calling can really come out when dealing with the appearance of either an actual opposition or an appearance of opposition in our daily lives. When these stresses and anxiety-producing confrontations occur. Any of you experienced that? Anybody had any stressful anxiety confrontations even today? We will only be able to reflect God's character in our response when we remain faithful to draw upon His power, knowing that He is always faithful to us and will glorify Himself in and through us. Opposition, this just popped in my head. It's a t-shirt, Sherry. You've got to write this down. Opposition is opportunity. Let us never forget that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that's faithfulness, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. In our dealing with opposition, we need to trust the invisible work of what God does because we trust Him. Our God, who is reliable, He's steadfast, and true to work everything for good. Let us live each day by faith that we will work His will in our lives and not by sight. Despite the moods and the impulses of life. You see, it is the Spirit that makes us faithful. Now let's talk about gentleness. In the King James Version, the trait marking of gentleness or a mild disposition is written meekness. This is not to mean weak, but rather from a position of strength, humility, and thankfulness toward God, one has learned the virtue of taming themselves by controlling their destructive and sinful instincts, such as anger or rage or self-aggrandizement, in order to live in harmony with others. Let me give you an illustration. Our kids grew up with dogs and cats and horses. Many times, my wife Sherry let the horses out of their stalls to walk around the property of our yard to graze. When it became time to feed them O&M, which is oats and molasses, Sherry would fill up our Rubbermaid tub and let the horses come over when they were ready to eat. Great treat for the horses. One of our family horses was named Trojan because he was a large thoroughbred. He measured 15 hands from the ground to his withers and weighed over 1,000 pounds. At the same time, we had a pug. And pug's name was Lola. Now, Lola was so small that when we got her, she could fit in the palm of my hand. She was that small. Now, Trojan loved his O&M, but so did Lola. And can you imagine even a full-sized pug boldly walking between the legs of Trojan, this thoroughbred, and just start eating Trojan's favorite meal? On many occasions, I would be somewhere around the property and I'd hear Sherry and the kids screaming out loud for Lola to get away from Trojan's food. But that dog never paid attention. She just kept on eating, and so did Trojan. You see, Trojan came from a position of strength and learned to control his instinct to simply step on Lola, even one time, to teach her not to touch his food. He tamed himself in order to live in harmony with the other animals on the Rollis farm. When someone comes into your world and tries to eat out of your Tupperware bucket of control and power, maybe it might be someone on a board or a committee at work, at church, or in your family. How will you respond? If a horse and a dog can work it out, so can you when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you through relationships, even those that are not pleasant. It's my understanding from our produce growers here in our church that fruit does produce better in a manure-enriched environment. God is not as concerned with our comfort as He is concerned with our spiritual growth. Give up. Give up. I ask you, please, give up judging what's best for yourself and others and let God grow in you what's best. You may be saying to yourself, Pastor, this kind of gentle spirit of humility and grace and might restrained is impossible to manifest in my life. Well, Jesus has this in response to you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we recognize God's ways and thoughts are higher and high above our own, then as Jesus becomes greater and we become less, we realize we don't need to argue with resentment and anger. We can forgive more readily, and competition and sectarianism will disappear. Let's take God's world view position that reflects truth rather than apply this world's worldview in dealing with opposition that are only shaped by exposure to sin and misinterpretation of experience. We come to our last virtue, and that is self-control. The Apostle Paul talks about the need to walk in the Spirit. in order to reflect God's character of self-control when he writes in Galatians, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please." Now, self-control, or temperance, is the ability to control one's thoughts, your words, your behavior, your actions of the physical and mental body and its sensual appetites and desires through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just sheer self-will produced from a, and my doctors and nurses and people in the audience today will appreciate this. Did you know that the doctors and the nurses and those in the medical will tell you that self-will comes from, predominantly, the world will say, from the prefrontal cortex of the brain? It's right up here. That's not biblical, that's not spiritual self-will. It can relate to chastity and the moderation of eating and drinking rather than indulging one's uncontrollable sensual desires. It is the ability to refuse and just say no, because Jesus has set us free from the slavery of sin. But as this trait relates to handling opposition, if you are not empowered and are not led by the Holy Spirit to live and love in our liberty as Christians, it can lead to a deprived mind. If you are only relying upon the frontal lobes of your brain, it will lead, and applying the world's view to dealing with opposition, it will lead to a deprived mind that results and will be filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slandering, the hating of God, insolvent, arrogant, boastful, inventing of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Wow. Mark these words carefully. If you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to develop self-control and all the other virtues of His fruit in your life, Scripture makes it clear that the practice of such things are worthy of death. And in the direction of this unconfessed sinful character will not only continue to do these things more in your life, it'll get easier and easier, greater and greater, more brazen and more brazen, but you will behave in such a way that gives hearty approval. You will actually turn and give hearty approval of those who are still practicing those things and their behavior. You'll say, "How do I even look like Jesus anymore? This is not worthy of your calling, and it's certainly not glorifying to God. If you are in a position of power and control over others, pursue the liberty to love with a mindset of inclusion and the welcoming of others and new ideas. Self-control allows us to keep our commitments to God and to ourselves." Let me repeat that. Self-control allows us to keep our commitment to God and to ourselves. This demonstrates unity and leads to the perseverance in building up of the church and the oneness in Christ. This is what the community of Piedmont needs. What they will see in the congregation at First Baptist Church of Piedmont. This is what they will be drawn to and want to experience in their own lives. So, what are some practical ways to deal with opposition by allowing God's Spirit to cultivate faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in our lives? First of all, respond with empathy. Respond with empathy rather than combativeness in dispelling conflict. You see, with the primary thought in mind of the other person's spiritual condition, trying to look at where they are spiritually, and you attempt to try to understand and relate to the pain behind their meanness and their opposition. Respond with empathy, not to be combative. Number two, if the opposition is a fellow believer in Christ, respond by confronting them with a spirit of restoration. In Galatians 6:1, Paul says, "If anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." Let us remind ourselves first, and then others, that we are to be mild, loving, encouraging, and clear about the holiness that God calls each of us to. Now, I'm coming to the end here, but this third one, you guys got your seatbelts on? The third one. Stop for a moment and self-reflect. Maybe you are the difficult person that's causing the opposition. Are you the mean person? Reflecting back on our scripture today, what happened to the unforgiving servant? We need to respond to opposition with humility because we owe God a huge debt. Since He forgave us, we need to handle opposition with the same forgiving heart towards others. Are you the mean one? Just as John 15 directs us that we are to live and abide in the vine in order to hear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we are commanded to also walk by the Spirit. A life committed to Christ requires a full life commitment. In order for you to manifest each of the different virtues of the Holy Spirit, we need to go to God and spend more time with Him each day. In addition, we must surrender ourselves to Him and His will each day. Submitting every aspect of our life to God includes, but it's not limited to, mentally or intellectually, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, psychologically, recreationally, socially, educationally, vocationally, and our family. Each of these areas, I want you to know this, that each of these areas of your life is what I, as your pastor, pray for you specifically on my daily prayer list. If you are saved, then live like it. Do you desire God's character to be manifested in your life? Well, we know that His trait markings can only be produced by the Holy Spirit, who is doing the work in us that only God can do, which in turn will bring glory to Jesus Christ. Stay in step with ethics and values and standards the Holy Spirit is leading you, because He is the one true and only source of your new life in Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 8, Jesus promised His disciples that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This same power is available to every believer in Christ today. Let the Holy Spirit manifest His unlimited, His divine self, and bring glory to Jesus Christ in your life today. If you have never received Jesus Christ in your life, or you're not sure if He's there as your personal Lord and Savior, you can come forward now and receive the Lord's free gift of salvation, His forgiveness of all your sins, and allow Him the freedom to produce in you with His Holy Spirit in order that you can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, not in little pieces of fruit, but in the fullness of each of those aspects of His fruit. He has an eternal plan for you. You just need to come to Him today and ask. He is waiting. You come.